Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Podcast Manager Show. I'm so grateful that you are here. We are talking to Anna Huff today, and Anna is going to be teaching us how to use Pinterest to market our clients' podcast. And really what this is about is how to use our show notes, the show notes that we write on our client's website, and how we can pin that to Pinterest so that our client is getting a greater reach, and we're basically repurposing their podcast on Pinterest. And Anna goes into a lot of great details on how to do this, the best way to do this, how many pins to create, all these cool details of using Pinterest. So maybe this is something that you're really into and you want to add this to your services, or it's just something that you talk to your client about and let them know, hey, this is an option. Pinterest is an option, just like how we promote on social media. Pinterest is another great place to promote your podcast. So we go into a lot of great details on this episode, and I'm excited to share it with you. So let's go talk to Anna. Hey there, I'm Lauren, and you're listening to the Podcast Manager Show, a podcast for podcast managers. Each week, we cover the technical and tactical aspects of running a profitable podcast manager business. With over 90,000 new shows starting each month, podcast managers are in demand. I mean, in demand. And I'm here to help you land your dream clients while reaching your monthly income goals and without working like crazy. Are you ready? Let's get to today's episode. Anna, it is so great to have you on the show today. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. This is fun to be here.
Yeah, and I'm excited to talk about Pinterest because I think it works so well with podcasts, but I myself don't know enough and like understand it well enough to really speak on it myself. So I'm excited that you're here to share that with us.
Yeah, Pinterest is a really great resource for podcasters to really just market their podcast to a different audience and do it in a different way and just really leverage that content that they have in a different way.
Yeah, anytime that we can kind of use what our clients have already produced and make it or spread it out into different places for them, I think, you know, we need to hear, okay, is this going to be smart for our clients? Because if we can do that, then that's really, you know, helpful to them.
Yeah. And if you're already like writing podcast notes, then that's the perfect place to just extend that process is just get it out there on Pinterest so that you're widening your reach, right?
Yeah, definitely. So let's start with just hearing about you because I love like connecting right away. So let us know about you, how you got started working online.
Yeah. So well, I'm a former teacher, so my education is in teaching. My education is in education. And I taught for about 8 years. And there was always, I started having a family, and I always just kind of knew that I wanted to do something that would be more flexible for that. And so in the start of 2020, I took Michaela Quinn's Overwhelmed Overbooked course. And actually, you know what? I really need to back up because I'm kind of skipping over some important parts. So let me back up and tell and start over again. Okay. So I was a teacher for 8 years. I started a blog, and that's the important part. And when I started blogging, and I thought it was just going to be kind of like a, you know, something I was going to do for fun. And it actually turned into something a little bit more. I learned a lot about marketing, and I learned a lot about Pinterest. And I just knew that eventually at some point I was going to do something with all of that. So fast forward to the beginning of 2020, and I took Michaela Quinn's Overwhelmed Overbooked course, knowing that I wanted to leave the classroom and do something different, but I didn't quite know what that was going to be yet. I knew that my blog was something that had given me these skills, but I just wasn't sure how I was going to use them. And so then in March of 2020, when the pandemic hit and we were all sent home to quarantine, it really just provided me that like ample time at home with nothing else to do to really just hit the ground running with my business. And I went through a few like phases of trying to discover like what it is that I wanted to do. Social media managing, not for me, but Pinterest was sort of the thing that just kept coming up. I just had people always asking me about it, and I just knew about it because I had used it to grow my blog, and it just kind of seemed really natural. So I started offering Pinterest management services, and I do VIP days and, you know, one-on-one intensives and some different types of services with Pinterest. But I just really found that there was a lot of value there for business owners in the digital, you know, entrepreneur world, that there were people who weren't leveraging the power of Pinterest the way that they could be for their businesses. And so that's where I'm at today, working with service providers and personal brands to help them kind of leverage the power of Pinterest to take their business to the next level. And I love that we are talking about podcasting and Pinterest because it just really aligns so well. And I have found that there's a lot of podcasters that aren't using Pinterest yet, which they can be, and it's really not that hard.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And before we get into that, I'd love to know the fact that you started a blog and you found success in it. A lot of people start blogs and they don't. But regardless, if you do or not, you learned so much along the way. Like you said, you learned about marketing. You learned the tech of setting up a blog and all of that. And I'm curious to know if you felt like you had to, like you had these skills, but you didn't want to use them on the blog. You wanted to use them in a different way so that you could go, you know, quote unquote, full time in this, even if it's not full time hours. Did you feel any sort of like hesitation of doing that? And I'm asking because I feel like if we don't find success in like the first side hustle we start, we then think like, no, I have to be successful in this because no one's going to hire me to use these skills unless I've proven that this works. Do you get what I'm saying?
Right. Well, and so that's the thing, because blogging wasn't making me a full-time income. And it wasn't going to happen really fast for me. So I didn't, I didn't like drop off and like totally forget about it, but I did take a break from it. And when I took a break from it, I was working on growing my business, but I also knew that it was still there and it was still working for me. And so I actually ended up taking a 6-month break from blogging while I was working on growing my business and figuring all of this stuff out. It was so new to me. And then I went back to start again and kind of was looking at all of my analytics. And the main reason why I was able to step away and my blog didn't just totally like die was Pinterest. Because Pinterest had been working for me because I had used it and it was continuing to work for me, even though I wasn't pushing out new content. Now, I wouldn't recommend that to anybody, right? But
things happen.
Yeah, it was the thing that just continued to drive traffic to my site. And so that was another kind of moment for me where I was like, okay, this is something, you know, like I know that there's power in this. So, and you know what? I didn't have to be the, you know, the most successful or the best person at blogging, or I didn't have to be like this rock star, like Pinterest person. Because honestly, I'm like 10,000 page views on my blog and that's great. It's not where I want to be, but I also know that there's power in that. There is a lot of growth there. So I didn't have to be like this amazing, you know, superstar to know what worked. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I mean, you have something that a lot of people don't even have, right? Like some of us, especially from in the podcasting space, 99% of podcast managers don't have their own podcast. And even like we think of other services in our world, like social media managers, you can be an awesome social media manager, but not have your own Instagram profile with 25,000 plus followers. Right. Because number one, there's what we do, which is we help people get their message out. There's that piece, but there's also like having the message. You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just so interesting to hear that, like, of just like having that self-confidence to say, I have a skill that's valuable. And yeah, I don't have to have like a following, or I don't have to have like really proved it in my own life or business or whatever before I can use it for other people.
Yeah. And the fact is like business owners or, you know, anybody that's going to hire a social media manager, a podcast manager, a Pinterest manager, they could be really successful at it. They don't want to do it themselves. That's the thing. They don't have time to do it themselves. And so being an expert, that's fine. And if you're helping everybody else, you're not going to have time to do your own. You know, it's very hard to balance all of that. So there is definitely a lot of benefit in, and you know, podcast managers, Pinterest managers, you know, social media managers, they should feel confident in their ability to do their jobs, you know?
Yeah, definitely. So then let's dive into Pinterest. And I first wanted to start this talk off with who is on Pinterest, because the podcast managers that are listening help a lot of different types of podcasters. And I'd love to know who are like maybe the top podcasters that you would see on using Pinterest.
Okay. Well, so like if you think big podcasters, obviously Jenna Kutcher, she's like huge and she leverages Pinterest. She's using her podcast notes and she's turning those into blogs and she's getting so much traffic. Of course, she's got an, you know, she's got a whole nother, it's a whole nother level, but she's somebody that is doing that really well.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is Amy Porterfield. She's doing that really well as well. Those are the people that like you look at them and you're like, they are on another level, but mm-hmm. it's part of it is because they have given the time and the effort to Pinterest to help their businesses grow and help mm-hmm. their podcasts grow. You know, it's just a way for you to get your word, your message out there.
Mm-hmm.
People are searching for ideas and inspiration on Pinterest. For the most part, the demographic on Pinterest is women, anywhere from like their 20s to 30s. But we're seeing that shift now with the, you know, change in our society with the pandemic and everything. There are more people coming to Pinterest to find their ideas and their inspiration. So it's much more than just the DIY mom bloggers these days that are using Pinterest to drive traffic. There's just a wider demographic that we're seeing. We're also seeing a younger demographic come to Pinterest. And so that is an interesting thing. Like if you have a podcast that is, you know, more tailored towards younger millennial kind of people, then that is a potential, you know, outlet for you to start to generate some more traffic.
Yeah. And you kind of mentioned this. This is a long game, Pinterest.
Pinterest is a long game. You have to definitely, you have to know that you're going to give it time before you're really going to yield any huge results. So a lot of times people will give it a try and get frustrated because it doesn't happen overnight. And I always say like Pinterest should be a part of your strategy. It shouldn't be the only thing that you're doing because it does take time. It takes, you know, months for Pinterest to index your content, to really like understand it and know who to serve it to. And it takes time to establish your brand. And so all of that kind of plays into just needing to be consistent, even though you may not be seeing the results that you want right away. Staying consistent with whatever your content process is and just, you know, if it's weekly, bi-weekly, whatever, and then just giving it at least at the very minimum 3 months. But even then, there's people who will say, you know, I gave it 3 months. I didn't see the results that I wanted, so I quit. Mm-hmm. And I hate that for them because really they should have given it longer. I mean, truly, if you want to see the results, give it 6 months, give it 9 months. And I know that's a long time, but I promise that it's valuable. I promise that it'll yield the results that you want in the long run. And for a longer period of time, that's also another benefit is that content on Pinterest lives longer.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons that this makes so much sense with a podcaster, because if someone starts a podcast, they already have the mindset that podcasting is a long game.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're already committed to podcasting, then they're committed to creating consistent content. And whether that's weekly, or every other week, whatever it is, but then they just push that to Pinterest and it's just like this perfect match.
Because
then they can do it, like you said, for 6 months or more. And as a Pinterest manager or podcast managers, we can develop a really simple plan for them, you know, for using Pinterest. And the podcaster, our clients, like they might not even really know, you know, they're like, okay, yes, show notes, Pinterest, make it happen. And then we can kind of report back on, hey, this is working. Let's tweak this or whatever it may be.
Yeah, I always just tell my clients and my students, like one of the biggest objections that I get is that I just don't have time for one more thing. I'm already doing Facebook. I'm already doing Instagram. I'm already doing my blog or my show notes or whatever. I don't have time for one more thing. And really, it doesn't have to be one more thing. If you make it a part of your content creation process, a part of that podcasting, editing, show notes process, just add on that extra step and give yourself an extra like 15 minutes to your process. And that's the difference maker.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that will just take it that much farther than where you could potentially go with Instagram or Facebook.
Yeah. So let's talk about show notes, because writing show notes for a podcast episode is the reason that this makes so much sense with Pinterest, is because you're already writing a blog post for the show so that you can then pin the show notes onto Pinterest. And my very specific question for you is, what's the best way to do that? Like, I've seen people create Pinterest graphics. And when I say that, in case anyone listening isn't familiar, Pinterest likes longer graphics, kind of like an IG story in a way, but they like a certain look of a graphic. So, you know, if we were to go and make a Pinterest graphic, I've seen people put those on show notes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Do you need to like actually put the graphic on the show notes?
No, you don't actually need to put it in the show notes. All you will have to do is link to that. So if you're going to publish it on Pinterest, you would take that image or that graphic, you would put it on Pinterest. You would just make sure that the link is linked to that specific URL that goes to those show notes. But you always can. I always like the benefit of having the graphic there on your show notes is that if somebody's coming and they're not coming from Pinterest, maybe they're coming from your podcast, like on iTunes or whatever, and they're visiting your show notes, which I would think that most of the time the show notes are on like a web page, right?
Yeah.
Is that mostly how they do it? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're a Pinterest user and they don't realize that you're on Pinterest, or they could help you by pinning that image to their Pinterest. If they're like, this is something that I want to remember, then that is more exposure for your content. And so there is benefit in that, having it there and giving that call to action of like, pin this for later, save this idea for later.
Then it creates like a two-way street. Because I was only thinking of it like on how we're promoting the show notes, but then yeah, putting it there allows other people to save it and therefore promote it for us on Pinterest.
And you'll always get those, like, if somebody comes to your site, they pin your image from your show notes, that's going to populate in your analytics. So you're going to be able to see how that is going to help your growth on Pinterest and growth to your clicks to your website, because ultimately that's what you want, right?
Yeah. So then let's just talk like some basics like about Pinterest. On average, just give us some generalities here. How many pins do we want to be doing a month? If we were to like do this for 6 months, let's say, how many pins would be like a good amount for a month?
Okay. So the first thing I would tell you is we would break it down by how much content you're producing that month. So for the most part, if you're producing, let's say, one podcast episode a week, then that could potentially be four pieces of content. So with each of those podcast episodes, you're going to do podcast notes, right? You're going to maybe turn those into some sort of like a blog type thing and publish those on your website. And then for each of those four podcast episodes, you are going to create anywhere from 3 to 6, potentially you could go up to 10 different Pinterest images. So the long form images, the ratio is 2 to 3. And you're going to create anywhere from that number. Let me tell you 5 to 10. 5 to 10 is probably a better. You can go up to 10.
Per episode.
Per episode.
Okay.
And what I like to tell people is just create like templates and then just change them out for each of your episodes. You might change out a photo. You might change, obviously, you're going to change the title, all of those things. So just have yourself like in Canva, like create a template that has 10 different pages on it. And then just for every single episode, you're going to go in and create those 10 different pin images. And then the next kind of piece of that, though, is getting it scheduled out to Tailwind. I would highly recommend anybody who's going to be doing any kind of Pinterest, in addition to if they're doing podcast managing and then they're adding that on, to really look at investing into Tailwind or having their client invest into Tailwind, because that scheduling piece can sometimes be the time suck. And Tailwind is a great tool to use to schedule all of those pins out in a strategic way. So going back to your original question, how many pins a month? So let's say you did 10 pins for every single episode. So that's going to end up being like 40 pins a month of your own content.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're adding, or if you're trying to grow your account, sometimes I say it's good to pin other people's content, but really your focus should always be just on creating fresh content.
Okay. Yeah. And that's so different than another social media channel. And let's actually talk about, like, Pinterest is a search engine, but it's also kind of a social media platform. Like, explain that to us.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So if like Google and Instagram got together and had a baby, that would be Pinterest. Because Instagram's that visual piece, right, with the images. And then Google's that search engine keyword kind of thing that, you know, brings all of that together. So those two things, if they got together, then that's what Pinterest would be.
That's so interesting.
It is. And Pinterest, you know, is changing a little bit too these days. So Pinterest used to be, it was really truly a search engine and people were using it to click to outside sources. Mm. But now Pinterest is adding in some layers that are just kind of keeping people on the platform. And I think it's just their way of sort of trying to maximize their space, right? With so many people on the platform, they have to make money too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they've launched stories, which are very similar to Instagram stories, but different. And they're doing like shoppable pins now. So people can like look at a pin image and then click on potential like pieces that they would want to buy, links to like different sources. So there are some things that are changing that are making it a little bit more social. But I think for the most part, users are there to find things that they want to consume as far as like getting information and ideas and inspiration.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you also said earlier that Pinterest content lasts longer. It has longer like shelf life. So tell us about that.
Yeah. So like a social media post, depending on like, you know, if you're using Instagram or Facebook or whatever, or Twitter, I mean, Twitter's much, much shorter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Their lifespans are like within 24 hours, right? Like you post something and it pretty much is done by the next day, 24 hours, maybe 48, but really for the most part, that's pretty short. A Pinterest pin continues to gain traction over time. So we typically say a Pinterest pin's lifespan is about 3 months, but I have pins that continue to drive traffic to my site that I pinned like a year ago. So even though we say it's 3 months, the longer that your pin is on Pinterest, the more traction it's going to get. I like to compare it to like a snowball, right? Like if it just starts compiling and compiling and compiling, then it's going to just get bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's your results. Your results are going to get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Mm. And is that because Pinterest sees like, okay, you pinned something a year ago and people have liked it and used it and clicked it and all of this stuff. So then it sees, oh, this is valuable. So then it pushes it out more. Is that the reason?
That's part of it. And the other part of it is that you're then, if people are clicking it, they're saving it, they're putting it on their board. So then your pin is just kind of getting all of this extra like population all over Pinterest. And so then if other people are seeing those people's pins and your image comes up, then they're going to, you know, it's just going to continue to have more life breathed into it, really.
Yeah, that's a good visual because not to like compare it to Instagram because they are so different. But when we think of an Instagram post that we might make to promote our client's podcast, people could like it for 6 months. But when they like it, it doesn't share it to somebody else. Versus on Pinterest, if someone were to pin something on their board, they're then sharing it with anyone else that looks at their board. So yeah, it's just that growth does seem to be more like exponential.
Yeah. And like the goal is to get more clicks to your website or get more, you know, visitors or whatever. And so we don't always like emphasize saves or repins or whatever, but that is a really valuable piece because if there are more people saving your pins, then eventually that is going to impact your site traffic.
Yeah.
And so even though that's not like maybe the top metric that you would want to measure, you definitely want to still look at it because it is an important piece of your growth.
Mm-hmm. Right. That makes sense. It's like, it's maybe kind of a vanity metric, but then when you think about it, if more people are saving and repinning your pins, then more people see it. And then the likelihood that you get more traffic is that much higher.
Yep, that's exactly right.
And then from the podcast perspective, the reason if someone's wondering like, okay, well, why does my client need to care about how many people are going to their website when we're trying to promote the podcast? And I think the reason for that is, number one, if we're pulling them back to show notes, then they'll listen to one episode and then they'll, you know, become an avid fan and listen to all of the podcast episodes. But also, if your client has an offer, which majority of our clients do, then you're also pulling them to their website where their program is or their opt-ins are or their classes or whatever it is that they're offering to their audience. You're also kind of directing them back to the source of what that person's business is and the podcast.
Yeah, and I always tell my clients and my students that your home base should be your website. That is your own space on the internet. And so even if you have a podcast, I'm of the belief that your podcast episode should also live on your website.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Because, you know, relying on another platform to hold that space for you and then not having it in a space that you own is kind of risky.
Definitely.
And then the other thing too that I like to tell people is that you have a goal for podcasting, right? You have a goal for why you're publishing that content all the time. So that should be also a part of why you're using Pinterest, right? So what is your goal for podcasting? Ultimately, it's probably to grow your email list or grow your services or grow your visibility. And Pinterest can kind of come alongside of that and sort of supercharge it, right? Mm. Get it more traction, more visibility, more listeners, and then ultimately help you reach your goal, whatever that might be. If it's to grow your email list or if it's to grow your programs or what have you, Pinterest can be a really powerful tool to pair with your podcast.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Now, we talked a little bit about metrics. What's a metric that we could help our clients track so that they could see long-term if Pinterest is worth our time, their money, all of that?
Yeah, the analytics that you're going to want to track, or the metric, is going to be those link clicks. The clicks, I think now they're called outbound clicks. And so those are going to be the clicks that people are actually taking to visit your content on your website. That's going to be the biggest thing. Once someone clicks to your website, then it's really up to you to determine how that traffic is possibly converting. And so you have to kind of compare how much traffic's coming from Pinterest and then how that traffic is possibly converting for email subscribers or program signups or whatever. But the biggest one, if you're looking solely at Pinterest, you definitely want to be looking at those outbound clicks.
Yeah, that makes sense. And if you're reporting on podcasting stats to your clients, then you might be reporting how many people are looking at show notes in general. So then if you're adding Pinterest on, you can then say, okay, 25 people looked at the show notes on this episode and we got this amount of clicks over from Pinterest. So you could kind of report on all of those numbers.
Yeah, you can definitely pair those things together as a way to sort of show your clients what traffic is being driven to the podcast, whether it's from their website or another source, and how that is potentially helping their podcast grow.
Mm-hmm, definitely. One thing I also wanted to ask you about, so we talked about pins to show notes, but let's say that our client also has a free opt-in. You know, maybe it's like a guide or a class or whatever it is. Could we also do pins going directly to that?
Absolutely. You absolutely should. And you should do, you know, multiple images. You should do images of the actual like item, especially if it's like a digital download or something like that, so that people can kind of visualize what it is that they're going to get. And do, you know, up to 10 of those and link them directly to that opt-in. That's definitely a really great approach.
Okay. That's cool to hear, because I think sometimes I didn't know if like maybe Pinterest users really just wanted to like go to blogs, but they're fine going like directly to a product, whether that product is free or paid. They're good with that.
Yeah. So Pinterest users are there because they have some sort of problem, almost similar to how people are on Google searching for things. They're looking for an answer to a question or a solution to their problem. And if you have a product that, whether it's free or paid, that can be the answer to their problem, then most likely if they're ready to buy, they're going to buy. And Pinterest users are primed to purchase. Like we know that the statistics show us that Pinterest users are more likely to purchase from Pinterest. And so that is in and of itself a really important piece of using Pinterest, right?
Definitely.
Is just maximizing on that traffic or that demographic of people who are there to ultimately make some type of purchase.
Yeah, that's great to know, because when we go on Instagram, we're not primed to purchase necessarily. We're like there to like kind of scroll and relax and like maybe like learn something funny or whatever, versus like you're saying on Pinterest, like they're ready to buy, which makes sense. That's I can see that in myself, because I usually go get on Pinterest when I'm like looking for a solution, or I'll get on Etsy. Like I see them as being like semi the same, because I'm like, I'm looking to like buy something for like my house or my kids or like that kind of thing. And so I don't get on Instagram because there's so much other stuff on Instagram. I'm like, no, I'm looking for something.
Yes. So we always say, we say that Pinterest users are there to do, try, or buy. One of those three things. So they're either looking for, you know, some idea to try to do, or again, to try to buy, all of that. So keeping that in mind when you're using Pinterest is a good one.
Yeah. I think this is great info, and I think that podcast managers can start to see, okay, maybe their client is already on Pinterest, but they haven't thought about how they can use their podcast. Or maybe, you know, the next time we get on discovery calls, a potential client asks like, oh, you know, do you have any experience with Pinterest? And now you can think, yeah, I actually can talk about this and we could implement this if my client is up for it.
Yeah.
All right, Anna, this has been so helpful. Before we go, I would love for you to explain a little bit about keywords. What do we know about that?
Keywords are the backbone of Pinterest. You wouldn't believe it because Pinterest is a visual search engine, but how do people find those images? How do those images get populated? Through keywords. And so if you're going to be using Pinterest for yourself or for your clients, the very most important thing that you are going to want to do is do some keyword research and really kind of dig in and see what people are searching for as it pertains to the topic, the content topic, or the niche. And so I just love to use the Pinterest search bar, and you can just go in and you can start typing in, you know, what topic, and then you can kind of get a little bit more specific as you start typing in the topic and really kind of nail down what some of those keywords are. And using the keywords, once you determine what they are, using them in your pin title. So this is kind of correlates to, if you're doing any kind of SEO for your podcast clients, then this would be a really good way to pair it together. Mm-hmm. So you're going to want to make sure you use those keywords in your titles of the pins that you're pinning. So if you've got a podcast episode and there are specific keywords that you're using,
yeah,
go over to Pinterest, look those up, and then use them in your pin titles, use them in your pin descriptions, and make sure that that content is searchable. Because if it's not searchable, then you're not going to see the results that you want.
Yeah.
And so I really wanted to make sure that we talked about that because it is the foundation of Pinterest. It's the backbone, the foundation. You've really got to have those in order to see results.
Mm-hmm. Now, if we were to, for SEO, you know, a lot of the SEO optimization on a podcast is the SEO of the blog post. If we were to have picked a keyword when we were writing up the blog / the show notes, then we were to take it over to Pinterest, does it need to be something really commonly searched on Pinterest? Or would it be okay if maybe it wasn't a huge thing searched on Pinterest, but you know, our show notes are already optimized with it, the title of the podcast episode already has it in it, like everything's ready. Does it need to be like easily searched on Pinterest? Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, yes and no. So if you've got a keyword that you've really optimized already for Google SEO, don't change it just for Pinterest. Chances are that it already is kind of a popular keyword on Pinterest. The Pinterest Trends tool can help you by showing you when and how much, what the search volume is for a particular keyword. But generally, if you go into the search bar and you start to type in that keyword, other keyword ideas are going to populate underneath, you know, like in a drop-down menu.
Yeah.
And then if you search for it and then other content comes up, then you know that that's being searched.
Okay.
And you don't necessarily have to quite worry about the volume of the search, just that you are using the right keywords. So like people will get confused with keywords because they want to use keywords that they think work, but they don't think about what the user is actually searching for. So you have to kind of step into the user, the listener's standpoint, and think about what is it that they're searching for that I can help them with, and then how are they searching for it? And then that's how you have to use keywords. And you do the same thing on Google. So if you're doing the same thing, then generally it will work on Pinterest.
Yeah.
That was a really long answer to your question, but yeah.
No, that it makes sense. And I think it made my question make more sense because I was trying to get there. And I think that's a great tip, though, of stepping back into the listener's shoes on what they would be searching.
Mm-hmm.
Because we think, like, sometimes we get stuck in our own jargon, like, or the jargon of the podcast that we're working on. And instead, it's like, what would the user be searching for to find that podcast, to find that answer? So that's a great tip. Now, one more thing about keywords. How many keywords are we usually adding to a pin?
To a single pin, most of the time you can use anywhere from 2 to 3.
Okay.
Any more than that, you don't want to do because you can kind of risk being marked as spam.
Yeah.
There's people out there who love to do something that we call keyword stuffing that just doesn't work out well. So anywhere from 2 to 3, sometimes I only use 1. So it really just kind of depends what works. So like, don't stretch. If it doesn't work, if you've only can find 1, then use 1.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of take a less is more approach when it comes to Pinterest. There's so many people who want to dig down into the weeds and get into the nitty gritty details of like, well, how specific do I need to be? And I think if you're coming from it with the approach that you're using it organically to help people, then you're going to see the results that you want.
Okay, that's good. it's going to work when we are consistent and we're actually driving people back to like valuable content and we're kind of checking those boxes.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Awesome. All right, well, this has been so great. I thank you so much for helping us with this. Now, how can people find you? Where is the best place for people to connect with you?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram, Midwest Social Creative. I'm also on Facebook, but the best place to find me on Facebook is in my Facebook group. The group's called Pinterest Creatives Community, and it's just a really great community for learning how to use Pinterest. I do weekly live trainings in that group. And there are a lot of service providers that are looking to sort of branch into Pinterest management or hone their skills in Pinterest within that group. And one really exciting thing is that I am getting ready to launch a program. It's going to be specifically for virtual assistants who are looking to branch into Pinterest management. Mm. But it's going to be a really great way, a really great tool for anybody who wants to maybe add Pinterest as a service onto their sort of skills base. And so as podcast managers, it could be a potentially beneficial thing to have Pinterest as a part of your expertise mm-hmm. and what you offer your clients for podcasting.
Yeah, so cool. All right, well, we will make sure to add that to our show notes so that everyone can come connect with you, check out your Facebook group and all of that.
Yeah, would love that.
Well, thanks so much for being here today, Anna.
Thank you for having me. This was great.
Thanks so much for hanging out with me today. Come connect with me over on Instagram at Lauren Wrighton or in the Podcast Manager Mastermind on Facebook and let me know what you liked about this episode. You can always find the links and resources mentioned in this show over at laurenwrighton.com. Until next time, I'll be cheering you on.